Balram and Pralamb. It was the season of summer. Creatures who wear a body do not love this season, yet in Vrindavan it was as though someone had caught the weather and held it still. The colours of spring still lay scattered across the forest. The reason was plain. In that wood lived the sweetest of all, Bhagwan Shyam Sundar Krishna and fair Balram, and where those two stay, summer cannot settle in. The shrill of the crickets went under, drowned in the rush of the waterfalls. Cool spray flew off those falls without pause and settled on the leaves of the trees, and the green of them was worth the walking to see. The breeze came off the ripples of the river, the ponds and the streams, and it carried the pollen of lotuses, of Kahla and Utpala and their kin. In that cool, slow, scented air, the people of the forest were spared the season's wildfires and the sun's burn. The rivers ran deep past sounding. Great waves came up and kissed the banks, washed them and left them clean, and the ground around stayed damp because of it. Even the sun's rays, fierce as poison, could not draw the moisture from that earth or dry the green grass on it. Green lay over everything. Row on row, the trees stood heavy with blossom. Somewhere peacocks cried, somewhere bees worked the flowers, somewhere a cuckoo called, somewhere the cranes kept up a line of their own. Seeing a forest so lovely, Shyam Sundar, Krishna and fair Balram felt the pull to walk out into it. The cows went in front, the cowherd boys behind, and in the middle, playing his flute at his elder brother's side, walked Krishna. The boys had dressed themselves with care. One wore a garland of fresh young shoots. One had tucked peacock feathers into his hair. One had drawn lines all over his arms and legs with red ochre and coloured mineral clays. Then the games began. One boy would fill up with delight and start to dance, and Krishna would play the flute for him. One would smack his arms and set to wrestling. One would strike up a tune, and the two brothers would keep time with their palms, sound their horns, and now and then call out their praise. The way a player in a troupe praises the hero of the show, so too the gods themselves took the shape of cowherd boys and came down, and hidden among the Gopa folk they sang the praise of Balram and Krishna. Sometimes the two brothers clasped hands and spun like a potter's wheel. Sometimes they leaped in a contest to see who could jump the higher. They tossed wood apples and kumbha fruit and fistfuls of myrobalan at a mark. They split into two lines for a tug of war and hauled against each other. They wrestled. One would clap his hands over another boy's eyes from behind and make him guess whose hands they were, and the whole ring would fall about laughing. They played every game that ordinary children play in this world. They hopped about like frogs. They pulled faces at one another and mocked and laughed. They tied a rope to a branch and swung. Sometimes two of them stood while a third hung by his arms from theirs. Sometimes one mimicked some king until the whole lot of them collapsed laughing. In that same forest, on one such day, a new face joined the ring. He came in the dress of a cowherd, a staff in his hand, a blanket over his shoulder, and in his walk the same easy carelessness that marked the boys of Vrindavan. No one had seen him before, but in the middle of a game, nobody stops to ask whose son you are. He came, he stood among them, he melted into the play. He was no cowherd. His name was Pralamb, and he was an Asura, first among the Danav. He had come with one intent, to wait for his moment and lift Krishna and Balram, both brothers, out of the thick of the game and carry them away. Krishna sees everything. He knew the stranger the instant he looked at him. Yet he did not startle, did not warn the others, did not send the demon off. He took the offered friendship as if it were real, and inside his own mind he began to turn the question over, by what means the killing should be done. Then Krishan, the best player of them all and the teacher of every game, called the boys close. "My dear friends," he said, "today let us divide ourselves fairly into two sides and then play till we have had our fill." The boys chose the two brothers for their leaders. Some went to Krishan's side, some to Balram's. The rule was set this way: the losing side would carry the winners on their backs to a fixed goal, a banyan that stood far off across the meadow, the one they called Bandir. The winner rode, the loser was the mount. And so, taking turns to ride and to carry, and grazing their cattle as they went, the whole company made its way toward the Bandir tree. The game ran on. Wins came and went, losses came and went, and the backs kept changing under the riders. Once Balram's side won. Sridharma, Vrishabh, and the other boys of that side became the riders, and Krishan's side had to carry them. Krishan himself had lost, so he took Sridharma up onto his back. Bhadrasen lifted Vrishabh, and to Pralamb's share fell Balram, the son of Rohini. Here the demon's plan caught. He had meant to carry off Krishan, but Krishan felt to him like something no shoulder could bear, and the thought settled in the demon that he would never lift this one. So he turned to Balram instead. He took the fair boy up onto his back, and the moment he had him there, the Asura hidden inside him woke. "This is the hour," he thought. With Balram on his shoulders, he ran, and he ran fast. The fixed goal, the Bandir Banyan, dropped away behind him, and he did not stop at it. He carried straight on past. For a while, Balram rode easy, taken up in the pleasure of the game, the wind slipping past his ears, the ground pouring away beneath him. But when the banyan fell behind and the running did not slow, he understood that this was no longer a game. Then a second thing began. The weight on the demon's back started to grow. Balram grew heavy, then heavier. Soon he weighed on the demon's back like Mount Meru, the chief of all the mountains of the world. Pralamb could carry him no distance at all. The swift stride he had been flying on grew slack, one step at a time, and then it halted. He could not move the fair boy forward by a single pace. Beaten, he let his true shape come back, the natural body of the Asura. The one who a moment before had passed for a cowherd now stood up into the sky and touched it, a black demon over the forest. Gold ornaments burned on his dark body, and with fair Balram held aloft on his shoulders, he looked like a storm cloud shot through with lightning, carrying the moon along on its back. His eyes blazed like fire, his tusks curved up as far as his brows. His red hair stood wide around his head as if flames were climbing off it. Bracelets on his arms and his legs, a crown on his head, rings swinging in his ears, and by the shine of all of it, he was a terrible marvel to look at. With Balram held fast, he flew higher, away along the road of the sky. Watching that dreadful thing tear upward through the air at such speed, Balram felt afraid a little. The shoulder under him belonged to no friend now. Below, Vrindavan was shrinking to nothing. Above was only the open sky. The fear did not outlast the moment. In the very next instant, the knowledge of his own nature came back to Balram. He remembered who he was and whose brother he was, and what he had always been under the shape of a cowherd's boy, Ananta, the Endless One, the serpent on whose thousand hoods the worlds are set down like beads on a string, the one who carries the weight of everything that is. The demon had meant to carry him off the way a thief carries off another man's wealth. What the demon had picked up was the very one who holds up the ground the thief runs on. The fear went out of Balram, and a cool, level clarity came into the place where it had been. Then he grew angry. As Indra once brought his thunderbolt down on a mountain, Balram closed his fist and drove it down on the Asura's head in a single blow. One fist. That was the whole of it. The head burst apart. Blood came up out of the demon's mouth. The sense went out of him. He let go one enormous cry, and he fell dead to the earth that same instant, the way a mountain falls when Indus bolt has split it. Where he came down, the floor of the forest shook. The cowherd boys on the ground below stood without a word. They had just watched a companion of theirs turn into a demon high in the sky, with their fair friend riding alone on his back. Their breath had stopped in them. Then they saw the fist come down, and saw the demon drop to the ground, and saw Balram step off him unhurt. After that, their wonder had no edge to it. Sadhu, sadhu, well done, well done. They said it over and over. They ran and threw their arms around Balram, the way you hold someone who has died and come back to you. Every good wish they had rose up for the elder brother, and they crowded in around him, undone with love. He had earned every bit of it. And above them the gods, whom this wicked Asura had troubled for a long time, were set at ease at last. They let a rain of flowers fall on Balram and praised him, calling down, "Well done, well done!" That day, Vrindavan learned what it had never quite seen before. The brother who always walks behind, who keeps the beat behind the flute, carries in his one arm the same strength by which mountains were brought down in the old days. This katha has a smaller, earlier thread running into it, out of the same forest, out of those same days. While the boys were sunk in their games, their goats and cows and buffaloes had grazed their way far off. In their greed for the green grass, they pushed on into a thick wood, and passing from one wood into the next, they came at last into a stand of tall reeds, the reed forest they call Munjatwi. There, worn down by the heat and by thirst, they began to bellow. When Krishna and Balram and the other boys looked up and saw no animal anywhere, the game turned sour in their mouths, and they were sorry they had played so long. They went after the cattle by the marks of hooves and the cropped grass, tracking them wood by wood, and in the end they found them. Then, in voices deep as a rain cloud, the two brothers called the cows by their names, and the cows, hearing the sound of their own names, lowed back for joy. Just then, on every side of that forest, a wildfire broke loose, and a hard wind rose to feed it. The furious flames climbed to burn every living and unmoving thing to ash. The cowherds and the cattle, out of their minds with fear, ran to Krishna and Balram for shelter, the way creatures in the fear of death run to Bhagwan for shelter. O Krishna, O mighty Balram, they cried, you are our one protector and our Lord. Save us out of this. Krishna said only this to them, do not be afraid, close your eyes. They closed their eyes. When they opened them, the fire was nowhere. They were all standing beside the Bandir Banyan again, whole and safe. Krishna, the Lord of Yoga, had drawn that entire terrible fire in through his mouth and drunk it down, and what the children carried away was one plain fact. Their friend was a god wearing the shape of a boy, and a god had been standing among them the whole time.